Well, the oldest and the most sublime book in your Bible is the book of Job. Job chapter 38 this evening. Job chapter 38. Just one verse of scripture here, verse 31. The Bible says, "Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades or loose the bands of Orion?" For you to understand that verse, you must understand the condition of Job at this time. Let's go back to Job chapter 3. Job chapter 3, and look at verse 25. Job says, "For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." Now, ladies and gentlemen, he's not talking about the fact that he's lost all his kids. He's not talking about the fact that he's lost his health. He's not talking about he's lost all his wealth. That never would have entered his mind that he could lose all of that. But what he is saying in verse 25 is, life doesn't make sense to me at this time. Job was a good man. He had not done anything wrong, and he loses all his kids, and he loses the comfort of a sweet wife when she simply said, "Oh, Job, why don't you curse God and die?" And he lost his health, and he lost all of his wealth. And he's sitting in an ash heap with a broken piece of pottery that was significant of his life at that time, scraping himself. And he says, "For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me." Life is not making any sense to him. Now let's go back to Job chapter 31. Job chapter 31. Look at verses 5 and 6. "If I have walked with vanity, or if my foot hath hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity." Now verse 40. "Let thistles grow instead of wheat and cockle instead of barley. The words of Job are ended." Job is at the end of his rope. He doesn't know why all of this has happened. He doesn't understand that there was simply a conversation between Satan and God, and the end result was all of this that has come upon him, and life is not making sense to him. He says, I don't understand why this is happening. And now the two constellations come into play. In verse 38, "Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades?" Pleiades is a constellation that becomes more visible in the springtime. And what is being said here is, do you think it's always going to be springtime in your life? Can you bind the sweet influences of Pleiades? And then the other one, "or loose the bands of Orion." Orion is a constellation that announces the coming of winter. Do you think it's always going to be springtime in your life? Do you think that you can do away with the coming of winter? That's what is being asked in verse 31 of chapter 38. The story of Job begins in the springtime of his life. Job then finds himself in the winter. I think there's some lessons for us tonight. Let me give you three. First of all, you will face all seasons in your life. God is a God of the mountains and the valleys. He's a God of the springtime and the winter. He's a God of the victories and the trials. And sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, the change comes very quick. It did in Job's life. One day, everything's fine, and by the end of that day, he's digging 10 fresh graves for his kids, and he loved his kids. And he loses his wealth. Sometimes that change from springtime to winter comes very quickly, comes very sudden. Let me give you an example in Scripture. 2 Chronicles chapter 31. 2 Chronicles chapter 31. And let's read verse 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 31. No, let's read verses 20 and 21. Here it is. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and he prospered. I mean, things are going very, very well for Hezekiah. He is prospering. He is serving God and things are well. And then chapter 32, verse 1. After these things, after these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. Assyria was the major nation on the face of this earth at that time. And Hezekiah looks out after God is blessing him and all of Jerusalem is surrounded by those red tunics of the Assyrian soldiers. They dressed in red. They looked like a river of blood heading for you. And he looks out and Jerusalem is completely surrounded by the Assyrian soldiers. They have never lost a battle. And he looks out and he says, oh my goodness. I mean, the last verse in chapter 31, things are going well. And then the next verse, he looks out and he's completely surrounded. Want to know what happened there? I want you to go down with me to verse 21 of 32. And the Lord sent an angel, which cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders and captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. One angel, one night, killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. One angel, one night. So he, that is Sennacherib, returned with shame of face to his own land. And when he was come into the house of his God, they that came forth of his own bowels, his sons slew him with the sword. What am I saying, folks? I'm saying we're going to face all the different times in our life, times when things are good and times when things are not so good. We're going to face the springtime and we're going to face the winter in our life. And sometimes that is so quick. Okay. Second of all, in the springtime, prepare for winter. Job did. When you read the first chapter of Job, he is going about his business. And one of the things that he did was he taught his kids to sacrifice to God. And he taught them to live a good life. And so in the springtime, you need to prepare for the winter. In the book of Amos, chapter 4 and verse 12, is the second most basic message of the Bible. And it says this: prepare to meet thy God. The most basic lesson in the Bible is the fact that God loves you and that God wants to redeem you. That's what the Bible is all about. But then it places some responsibility. You have the sovereignty of God and you have the responsibility of man. And the responsibility of man is that we would prepare to meet our God. Okay? Now I want you to go with me to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. Look at verse 1. The Bible says, "He that being often reproved and hardeneth neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." It was said of Bonnie and Clyde when they were finally gunned down in Texas that Bonnie had a half-eaten sandwich in her hand. When they found her half-eaten sandwich, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. What I am saying is this: don't send away the day of grace. I want us to look at several individuals that did. Cain sinned away the day of grace. Go with me to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Let's begin reading in verse 13. Cain said unto the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me." And the Lord said unto him, "Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. You know what happened to Cain? He sinned away the day of grace. He killed his brother the first time anyone died in the Bible. He kills his brother. His mama goes looking for him, and he finds Abel, and she asks Cain, "Where's your brother?" "I don't know where my brother is. Am I my brother's keeper?" And then he killed him. There's another individual, and his name is Esau, but we find his story in Hebrews chapter 12. Go with me there, please. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, let's begin reading in verse 14. "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." We need to see that and to listen to that and to let that sink into our hearts. "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. The very antithesis of growing in grace is to allow bitterness into your life. It will do several things. First of all, it will trouble you if you allow bitterness into your life, and then many will be defiled because of that. Because here's what happens. You get bitter against someone. The natural thing is for you to go to your friends and talk bad about the person that you're bitter against. And those people take up an offense, and they begin to dislike this person, even though that person may have been very good to them, and thereby many be defiled. And then it says this, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. He sinned away the day of grace, folks. Back up just a little bit in your Bible to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. There's another group of people that are sending away the day of grace. And it's found in Romans chapter 1. We'll begin reading in verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who's he talking about? He will explain. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. It's a sound theological and philosophical principle that the cause is always more to be considered than the effect, and the Creator is more to be considered than His creation. But these people have inverted that. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. They've sinned away the day of grace. You can't do that. Acts chapter 24. Just back up a couple of pages. Acts chapter 24. And verse 25. Paul is going to preach to a fellow by the name of Felix. And here's what happens. And as he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. But he never did. There never was a convenient season for him. So in the book of Job, canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades or loose the bands of Orion? Last of all, ladies and gentlemen, in winter, look for the springtime. Job, Summer's coming. I know you're in the winter now, but Job, spring's just around the corner and summer is coming. Let's go back to Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42. And look at verse 12. After all that's gone on in the book of Job, verse 12. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, he had 7, and 6,000 camel, he had 3, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, he had 500, and 1,000 she donkeys, he had 500. So God blessed the latter end of Job. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And you say, well, God gave him double everything. Why didn't he give him double of the kids? He did. He had 10 kids in heaven and he had 10 kids on this earth. Several years ago, my mother went to the doctor, and the doctor and us kids were there with mother. And the doctor basically said, we can't do any more for you, Mrs. Gray. She had had open heart surgery. She had her mitral valve replaced in her heart. And the doctor said, we can't do anything more for you. You will get worse from this point, and you will die of congestive heart failure, and we can't do anything for you. My mother started looking for the springtime at that very moment, and she is there now. In the wintertime, look for the springtime. Let's pray. Oh, Father, once again, thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you for allowing us to read it and to understand it, to be changed by it. Holy Spirit, thank you for taking the word of God and making it so very real and good and holy to us. And dear Father, we just want to live our life according to the dictates of your word. So Father, thank you for Job and the instruction that we get from him. Thank you for this time together. Speak to hearts during this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen.